Hi, everyone. Wow, thank you so much for that introduction. I am so grateful to be here. I'm actually really happy to be here. It's the first time I do something like this, and great, so you can hear me. Awesome. So at this time, before we begin, I want to start with prayer. I want to open with a prayer and also with an intention for this call to set up the energy and to allow people as they come into the room to be able to also start to get into the presence of peace as we join in this miraculous evening, this happy, miraculous evening. So at this time, let's go ahead and close our eyes and let's take a deep breath and let go. Just two more deep breaths. And let go. And one more. So at this time, I want you to visualize a ball of golden light on top of your head, and you see as that light goes down your nose and your mouth all the way down to your heart. You feel your heart as it fills with light and goes all the way down to your feet, and you just see yourself as all light, as we are all light in this call. We're all peace. We are all gentleness. We're all happy in truth, in God, as God, in the mind of God. We are happy. So we relax in that. At this time, we put over on the altar, we give over the intention that we have for this call, whatever that might be for you. Perhaps you want to have clarity in an area of your life, or perhaps you just want to be present. Maybe that's the intention, or possibly forgive something. Whatever resonates with you could be one word. It could be peace. Maybe your intention will be peace on this call, or happiness. How about that? Why don't we make the collective intention of this session I happiness. Let's open with that, with the joy. Let's do that together. So at this time in this space of joining, we give over this session to Holy Spirit as it guides us fully. It guides this conversation fully on what needs to be expressed and what needs to be shared for the highest good, for the awakening of our minds. We are grateful for this moment to join. So grateful. And we trust. We trust and allow ourselves to be taken. Whatever needs to be expressed will be expressed for the higher good. We're grateful for everyone that's on the call. We send love to every single person that's joining in right now and those that are going to be listening in later. And maybe those that weren't able to join this evening, we send them love and light as well. We send love and light to this experience we call world. All together, amen. All right, so how many people do we have on approximately? If somebody can let me know, because I can't see that. Anyways, I am so grateful. Again, I think like the whole thing, intention, I think is also great being grateful because it keeps on coming up. But I'm very happy. Carly, I'm so happy you're on the call. Hi, Mama. Oh, so much love. I have many people I hold dear to my heart, I know, on this call this evening. So thank you for joining in. Tonight is going to be all about the time has come to get out of our own way and experience the happiness we deserve. So that's what this is about. It's about really getting out of our own way. This series for these next few Sundays that we have, actually four in total. Today will be the first one. We're here to just really let go of barriers these next couple Sundays. Just really let go of the barriers that blocks our happiness. And every Sunday, I'm going to be going over parts of my book, as well as having some conversation about it. I am also going to be answering your questions. And I'm going to be giving you just a sneak peek on what is within Live Your Happy. The book will be out April 22nd. And I'm excited to do this series because it will be a great companion, I feel, to the book. If people can listen to this later, and you guys listening now, to be able, when you have it in your hands, to also be able to connect with it even more. So I'm really excited about that. So at this time, I'm going to read a part that I was called to share on this call, which is setting an intention. So as you know, I just set an intention now before the call. I always like to do that. But I also share in setting an intention in my book, in the introduction part. So I'm going to read that to you just because I think it's powerful, the way that it came through. And I feel a lot of people are going to find it very helpful to be able to see setting an intention in a different way. So this is from page 6 in the introduction. And this is what I write. Hi, Seema. I see you. Hello. I love you, Carly. All right. So let's begin. Setting an intention. In the same way that I begin all my workshops, I offer this book with an intent. An intention is different than an expectation, which ultimately makes us unhappy. So I'm going to stop there a second. Right there it says, an intention is different than an expectation, which ultimately makes us unhappy. Anytime we set an intention, or anytime we set a goal, or anytime we want to manifest something, we need to let go of the expectations of that intention, and we need to trust. So moving on. For instance, I advise you not to expect this book to make you happy. So I write, I advise you not to make this book to make you happy. How about that? So right there, I'm telling you that this book is not going to make you happy, right? Because it's true. There isn't anything outside of you that can make you happy. That is the truth. Not even the book. Not even this phone call can make you happy, because your happiness is within you. It's within your heart. It's within your experience in the mind of God, which is where we are right now. That is the truth. So it's really important to constantly be living in that every day of existence that we are in this experience, to really come back to within your internal teacher. The Course in Miracles, that's what it is sharing with us. It's sharing with us how to be able to connect to our internal teacher so we can remember we never left God. That's what the Course in Miracles is teaching us, that we have the voice within us that knows everything, and that could, in within one instant, 1 second, bring us back to God, bring us back to truth. So that's why I say here, I advise you not to expect that this book is going to make you happy, because then you're setting yourself up. You know, the goal is always peace first. The goal is always peace. No matter what it is, it's always peace. Always peace. So I continue here. I advise you not to expect this book to make you happy. There's nothing outside of yourself that can give you your happy, including this book. My intention is for this book to help you see that you have all the happiness you could ever want already, waiting to be recognized within. As the Course puts it, if you will lay aside the ego's voice, however loudly it may seem to call, if you will not accept its petty gifts that give you nothing that you really want, if you listen with an open mind that has not told you what salvation is, then you will hear the mighty voice of truth, quiet in power, strong in stillness, and completely certain in its messages. And then I continue to write, the secret of living happy is that you don't have to find something or someone that's missing before you can claim it. But it is useful to identify any barriers that get in the way of living your happy, including fear, impatience, and doubt. We'll look more closely at those barriers as we go along, but for now, just be willing to give up whatever might be blocking your well-deserved joy. This is how you will get out of your own way and let the will of God, which is the same as the intention of love, be accomplished instead. So at this time, so at the end, I say, declare now, I am willing, and then let's do this. So I am willing, or, you know, the whole, you know, the course talks about willingness. So I always like to say big willingness, you know, not just willingness, but big willingness, because we're so transed out by the ego that we need more than just a little bit of willingness. At least for me, I like to just say big, massive willingness to really let go of those barriers. And that is something that I want to go over tonight. And I will be going over chapter 2 that I write about ego tricks. What are the famous ego tricks that I've discovered and have helped me to get closer to my truth by recognizing them and live happier because I recognize the ego tricks right away. So we're going to be going over the ego tricks tonight. I think there's about 4 of them, and they're in the chapter 2 of my book. But before that, I want to go over how my book came to life, how I got a book deal, and how my book was published. I feel that the story in itself is very miraculous and very inspiring. I feel it would be helpful for everyone to hear this story so that you can see that you can also create anything you want to create in your life, as long as you are letting go of the expectations and attachments, and as long as you are living in spirit, everything is going to work out always divinely. But you need to really be aligned to that truth at its capacity, at a 10. So I'm going to go ahead and share about that. And by the way, if I sound excited and very hyper this evening, is because I did 2 services today at Unity of Burbank. I did the 11 o'clock English service, and then I did the 1 p.m. Spanish service, which was our 5-year anniversary. So I have a lot of adrenaline, and I am on fire. So natural high is going on right now. So I wanted to share with you, as I said, a story about how the book was created. So the book was created with a glass of wine that I had one beautiful evening. My favorite wine is Pinot Noir, and I was having a delicious glass of Pinot Noir, and I think I had a few glasses of Pinot Noir. And I posted on Facebook an excerpt, supposedly. I posted a status, and I posted something that I wrote that I thought could be in a book. And it was about me. I was so grateful that I finally found my self-love, and I've let go of looking for love in a man and looking for love outside of myself and romantic relationships. That was one of my biggest grievances, has been looking for happiness and love in relationships and in men in my life. So I shared on Facebook this amazing, I felt an amazing thing that I wrote. And I said, oh my God, this sounds so good. It could be in a book. So I put excerpt from my book on that post. And the next day, I had forgotten about it. And Patrick D. Miller from Fearless Books, and he was a publisher of Fearless Books, and he was a publisher of Disappearance of the Universe, reached out to me, and he sent me a Facebook message asking me about my book. And then I forgot that I had written some Facebook about it. And he was asking about my book. He was like, oh, I get very interested in course teachers writing a book, so I wanted to know a little bit more about it. And I was so embarrassed because I didn't have a book, so I decided not to write back to him, just because I also wasn't interested in writing a book at the time. I suffer from dyslexia. I'm not a very, very big reader. I have a very little bit of a short attention span sometimes, so I just never consider myself a writer. I had learning disabilities when I was growing up. I was never very good at school. So I don't know. I just didn't feel that I had, you know, that wasn't even the cards for me. So what I did was that I just let go of that idea, and just decided, you know, I wasn't going to write to him, and just kind of let that go. thinking he might forget, but he didn't. He proceeded to write me an email and ask me about my book again. And then I wrote back to him an email saying that I'm sorry, but that I didn't have a book, that it was the Pinot Noir talking. So it was the Pinot Noir that was talking, not me. And then I had a good laugh about it, and we ended up talking on the phone. And then, to make a long story short, we talked about possibly me writing a book proposal, which would be I would just write an introduction of the book and two chapters with an overview, and submit it to publishers. And at the time, I was just scared, and I wasn't sure, and I was a little bit confused. It was a lot of information. And I think that Patrick's gentleness and encouragement and really believing in me, it was that really helped me to write the book. And kind of you could compare it a little bit to Helen and Bill in the sense of the collaboration of writing The Course in Miracles. I mean, Helen really didn't want to write it. She was not even remotely even believed in God at that point. It was just so beautiful how Bill came into her life and they had this collaboration in forming The Course in Miracles. And I really didn't have any idea of writing a book either, and just Patrick was that gentle angel in my life that together we just did this, and we got the book proposal done, miraculously enough. And he had told me that I speak about happiness. He's the first one that told me I was a happy teacher. I didn't know that till he told me he had seen my videos, and he said that I had a message within me. He had said that he's like, Maria, you talk about happiness a lot. Like in all your videos, you say happiness this and happiness that. And I was like, really? I didn't even know that. He's like, yep, talk about happiness. So that's how Live Your Happy was born. The title just came to me right away. It was my first title, it was my only title. There wasn't any other options. The Get Out of Your Own Way and Experience the Love Within was actually came from a suggestion from Patrick, which he got inspired from something I wrote in the book. Then we submitted it to Hay House, which was the original person that I wanted to publish the book, and they declined my offer. That was in December, not of this past year, but the other year. And they weren't interested, which I was really actually happy about, because I don't want my book to be where somebody doesn't want it, So I was just so grateful that it was okay, because I didn't have any attachment to the book anyways. It wasn't something that I was like, oh my God, I want this to happen or anything. It was more of a work of love and of trust. So I figured if the book was going to be published, it would. So I let that go. And then he said, we'll try again in January of, and he did. He submitted it to five public, but a handful of publishers, and I got two offers back, and I ended up getting a great offer from New World Library, which is my publishing house, and I'm very happy to be with them. They're in alignment with the book. They understand the book. They published The Power of Now, and also from Eckhart Tolle, and they published Deepak Chopra's book, The Seven Laws of Spiritual something or other. I can't remember the title, but so that's how that happened. And I just look back, and it was just such a great journey, because I totally got out of my own way, and I let go of the thoughts that I had about that I was dyslexic or had grammar problems or I wasn't smart enough to write a book. I really just let that go, and really just stepped in my power and in my greatness in God, because I wasn't doing it alone. I had mighty companions, such as Patrick and Georgia at A New World, and the crazy thing is that I actually the book To write the book was very easy for me. Very easy for me. I wrote chapter by chapter. One chapter, I would write a chapter one, and then I would turn it in, and then chapter two, and then I would turn it in, and Patrick would edit it for me, and we would go back and forth. And then he would sometimes say, expand on this idea or expand on this story, or he would say, can you share more here or there? And he would guide me towards the process. And I wasn't scared, because I felt lifted. I felt comforted. I felt such comfort writing the book. It was like more than me. It was more than Maria, the separated self. It just had a life of its own. It was like it was supposed to happen kind of feeling. So the lesson there is that we might have insecurities because of our past, or whatever we taught ourselves in the past. Like, I had this insecurity that I wasn't smart enough or to write a book, or dyslexic, and that's why I couldn't write a book. So that's such a beautiful lesson in itself, that I was able to really give that over to spirit and have a different perception and think, why not? Why can I not write this? Why can I not really take this gift that I'm being given and really do this and get out of my own way? Get out of my own way fully, so that I can be able to live this purpose that I have to be an author and a writer, and let go of my insecurities. So, because they're not real, you know, all of our insecurities or anything that comes from fear isn't real. The course says only love is real. So we need to break away from these barriers of insecurities and separation, so that we can step into our purpose and step into our truth. And that is very important in, especially, you know, in this moment of experience that we're all waking up. I feel this, I've just been seeing so many people so ready to wake up and just experience happiness at the capacity. I feel it. The Course says, you know, God's will for us is happiness. The Course says it over and over again. Happiness is all over the Course in Miracles, because Jesus is trying to tell us that that is the purpose, is to really every moment decide with God and not against God, and that is deciding with happiness all the time. And I know sometimes it could be hard and it could be challenging, because we believe the cuckoo voice, which is, I call it in the book, the cuckoo voice, which is the voice of the ego. We believe it, and we fall into a trance and into automatic pilot and become a puppet of the ego thought system. We become a puppet, and we forget that we are with God. We forget that we are one. We forget that we are love. We forget that we're united. We forget all of that. We just forget. The truth is that it isn't true. The truth is that it isn't true. So let's just take that in. Let's take a deep breath here. Let's just take that in. So then, going back to it being easy, what I did was, instead of seeing the whole book like chapter 1 through 9, I just saw the book by sections. So instead of getting overwhelmed, because this is what happens, we get overwhelmed if we look at the future, if we look at everything, if we look, we get very overwhelmed. But if we look at what is right now, what is happening right now, we don't get overwhelmed, because now is all we have. So right now I'm sitting on a chair, I'm on my phone with these headphones, I'm looking at my cell phone, I'm looking, it says, "Welcome, Denise." Hi, Denise. Denise is on the call. And I'm here in this moment with each and every one of you. Like, this is all that exists. This is all that is really real right now. Our connection with each other, with the love. This is all that exists. So when I was writing the book, that's what I did. Only chapter one was the only thing that was in my moment. So I was writing word for word, and I wasn't thinking about what was coming next in chapter two. I was just in chapter one. And then the next chapter, and then the next chapter. And that's why it was so easy, is because I allowed myself to be in the present moment and deal with what I had at hand, versus looking at the whole picture or looking into the future and just being in the now moment. Because in the now moment is all that we have. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and read the prayer that I open with in the book. This is a prayer that I came up with, because I feel it's very helpful in a book to set the tone and give it over to spirit. I feel that every prayer should be given over to Holy Spirit. Everything should be given over to God for God's will to be done. So this is a prayer that's in the book, right after my introduction, and this is how the book actually starts. Dearest Holy Spirit, and at this time, if you guys want, we can close our eyes now and do this prayer together. Dearest Holy Spirit, I hand over my experience of this book to you. I am willing to let go of my expectations and simply enjoy the ride. I allow you to come into my mind, opening the door for me to see whatever needs to be seen. so I may heal and live the happiness I am worthy of. Guide me on what to read or reread, and how much time to spend on this reading, and how I can apply the teachings that will work best for me. Amen. So yeah, I that prayer came to me one afternoon, and I felt it was just so simple and so light. And there's something to be said about asking Spirit for guidance, because in that way we can get out of our own way. And we might not feel the guidance right away, but we ask, and then it's certain that eventually you are going to feel better, or you are going to receive some sort of insight, or probably see a symbol or something, or maybe a song, or a billboard that's calling your name. They're everywhere. There's symbols of where to go and what to do. They're everywhere. The important thing is to be willing to be open to them, and they will be shown. All right, so I'm going through the chapters here already. So the first chapter is called, "You are not bad and you're not going to hell." How about that? You're not bad and you're not going to hell. That's the first chapter. But I'm not going to go over the first chapter today. I'm actually going to jump into chapter 2, and then maybe later on we'll go to chapter 1. But I really wanted to go over with you guys a process in every call. So I'm going to go over today chapter 2, which is titled, "You Are Not Who You Think You Are." Because in that chapter at the end, I have something that I call the 4 tricks of the ego. The 4 tricks of the ego. So I'm going to read this whole section to you. I don't know how long it's going to take me. It's not super long, but I'm going to read it. And then I'm going to open up to some questions after I read this. And the reason I want to share this on the call is, one, because yesterday when I was going over what I wanted to go over in the class today, this came up. And I feel that to live my happiness at the capacity that I'm living in right now in my life, I needed to understand the way my mind worked and understand the way my ego tricks me. So I really dove really deep into this part of the book, into really seeing how the ego has tricked me since I experienced myself in a body, and how it's tricked me into believing that I've left God. So, and that I'm separate from everything and everyone. So this is how it starts. The 4 tricks of the ego. So why do we choose the madness that is the ego? Then I go on to say, it's simple. We believe it is us. We don't know how not to. And our minds are undisciplined. So those are the 3 reasons why we choose the madness of the ego, is that we believe that it's us. We believe that the ego is us. It is us. We believe that those are the cards we've been dealt, and that we have to live miserable for the rest of our lives. Like, we really believe that we're this body. Second is, we don't know how not to. We don't know how not to because we don't know how our mind works. You know, that's why the course is so beautiful, because it helps to understand the way the mind works, that there's the 2 thought systems of fear and love. So many of us in the world don't know how not to. And then the third one, again, is our minds are undisciplined. Our minds are undisciplined. That's why we choose the madness of the ego, is because the course says you're too okay with mind wandering. You know, we're just very addicted to false thoughts. We're very addicted to the separation. We're very addicted to the ill thoughts, to the madness. You know, this is March Madness. Talk about that. This is March Madness. So, you know, the madness of the ego, right? Our minds are undisciplined. So that's the last one there. So then I go on to say, we forget our innate goodness, leading us to believe what the ego says. The Holy Spirit is the part of the mind that reminds us of the truth, which is that we are created by love itself, also known as God. The Holy Spirit is our direct line to the ego. By forgetting that we are created from love and thus are part of God, we fall asleep to our own reality. The Holy Spirit knows this and can help us wake up if we so choose. The key to waking up is to understand the ego tricks, that is, the tricks we play on ourselves. So let's look now at the major ones. So ego trick number one. Can anybody guess what that is? Maybe you guys want to put it in the message. I don't know if you guys can write messages, but yeah, some of you have. So what do you guys think is the first ego trick? It starts with an S. The. Anybody know? So the first ego trick is the shoulds. The shoulds. So the ego has a favorite theme, and it's I shoulda, I coulda, and I woulda. As in, I should have done it better. I could have gotten the job. If I had followed my hunch, things would have worked out differently. Not only does the ego use should to punish us inwardly with such judgments, it then projects them outward onto others. If you loved me, you would do so and so. You should have done things my way, and then all would have worked out. You could be doing more for this relationship. Whether we're punishing ourselves or others, there's no winning the ego game, the ego's game. We will only end up feeling disappointed and frustrated with ourselves and others. So let's move on here to ego trick number two. So ego trick number one is the should've, shoulda, woulda, I coulda, right? Can we all relate to this? Holy moly, I could relate to it. All right, ego trick number two. Anybody know? What is the ego trick number two? Oh my God, I love you girls. Hi, Denise. Hi, Carly. Love you both a lot. All right. Ego trick number two, obsession with the past. Ego trick number two is obsession with the past. Wow. Yeah. The ego likes to keep us in the past, thinking about how we messed everything up and how we could have done it better. Our mistakes seem to be the source of our guilt, but in fact, guilt always begins with the choice of separateness. As I explained in chapter one, we actually feel guilty because we fear love even as we go around looking for it. So we settle for its opposite. So at this time, I share a little short story from one of my students, and she says, for instance, after her breakup with her boyfriend, a client once told me that she wished she had not acted like she had cared so much while they had been together. By caring, she meant acting jealous of the attention he had received from his ex. Had she not acted jealous in the past, she kept repeating, then they still would be together. She was stuck in the past, regretting that she had not lied about her real feelings. This is just one example of the ego's delusional thought system. So let me go over this real quick. So this student that I had that I was working with, this client I was working with, she came to me and she shared with me that she was so hurt because of her breakup with her boyfriend, and she felt that if she had acted differently and not acted like she really cared about him by telling him that she was upset that he was talking to his ex-girlfriend, that maybe they would still be together. I have to laugh because it's like the ego is like so delusional. So she's telling me that she wished she had been different in the past with her ex-boyfriend because she wished she hadn't been authentic. She wished she had lied. That's what she wished she had done. Not been real, not been honest. She was real and she was honest. And now she felt that she wished she hadn't because now she's open and he knows the truth. And then now supposedly he's left her. But the truth is that we can never mess it up. That's the truth. The truth is we could never mess it up because we always do it exactly perfect for the higher good, even though it looks like a hot mess and a disaster, because we always do the best we could with the awareness we have in the moment. Period. So that's what she did. She did the best she could at the moment. And it was beautiful. It was perfect. Now, she's beating herself up, wishing she had not been honest with him. And she thinks she would have gotten different results. But the result was exactly perfect. Exactly perfect. It was an opportunity for her to have self-love and to recognize the truth within the relationship, and recognize that her source of love doesn't come from that relationship or from that experience, that her source is God and her source is love, and it doesn't come from anything outside of her. So it's so beautiful. She started crying and she recognized how she was looking for her happiness outside, and that she started to realize of how crazy that that is, that she wished that she had done it different, so that way she could have had different results. And that's the ego's trick, you see. How can we think about going back in time and wanting to change something that has already supposedly happened? Like, why will we even think about wanting to change it? Because it's happened and it was perfect. So that's the ego trick there. It's like, remember only the love you gave and the love that you received, and that's it. And you did exactly what you had to do at that moment, or what you knew was the best. And then guess what happens? You suffer less. You're going to suffer less. You're going to suffer a lot less. All right, so let's move on here to ego trick number 3, which is focus on the body. Focus on the body. Ooh. This one's a little racy. Should I read it or not is the question. What do you guys think? I'm going to drink some water while you guys tell me if I should read this or not. Carly's like, yes. Oh my goodness. All right. God, this class is going to be full of surprises for me. I didn't know if I was going to read this or not, but I am. All right. Because, you know, that's the way I roll. I always say authenticity is sexy. I always love to be honest and open my heart to you guys and open my heart to everyone and be completely honest and raw, because that's the way we heal together, is by really just showing up for ourselves and just being ourselves. That's how we're able to experience more and more truth, is not hiding or trying to pretend, you know, just because, he says, remember, this is a G-rated room. Oh, okay. So maybe, okay. So it's fine. It's not that bad. It's not, somebody said this is a G-rated room. All right. Yeah, I get that. It's not that crazy. It's not crazy at all. All right. So let's start here. Above all, the ego believes in separation, and the body is the ultimate proof that each of us is separate, different from everyone else, and thus special. Serving the body, taking care of the body, and finding distraction and pleasure through the body are the ego's preoccupations. In fact, we tend to believe that happiness is found through taking the best possible care of the body. Yet the body, let's see here, yet the body is more often our problem center, especially if we're trying to find fulfillment, purpose, and intimacy through it. Great sex, for instance, is not a bad thing, but just how often is it reliably great? So great sex, for instance, is not a bad thing, but just how often is it reliably great? All right. So how many times have you felt terrible after having sex with someone when you knew it was not a good idea, as in so-called makeup sex? In my marriage, physical intimacy was a major issue, so after we divorced, sex was all I wanted. My hurt ego convinced me that I would be happy again if I had enough sex. Yet, all the hunt brought me, what brought me was sadness. I might feel good for a hot second driving home from some guy's place, but soon I just felt empty. Now my experience of the body is totally different, because I use it to extend love rather than try to find love through someone else's body. Let me repeat that. I use my body to extend love. I ask myself, how may I serve with this body? How can I serve through this body? Now I use this body to collaborate with other teachers, giving talks, workshops, or sermons. My body is an instrument, which means that it's not who I am. It's there to serve myself and others, not the other way around. I can't believe I just read that. It was so weird to read it because it's very personal to me. But I think it's good that I read it, because people are going to be seeing this in a couple months. You know, people are going to be able to read this in a couple months. So thank you for allowing me to share this on this call, because I was a little bit nervous about it, especially when, I heard it was a G-rated room. I was like, oh my God, maybe I shouldn't read this, but I felt really called to, because it was true. It's an experience of my life that I had, that I was so lost in feeling that I was gonna get happiness from being with another body. And that is very lonely. That is very sad to even remotely think that God is in another body, or that my happiness is in another body. So it was really, really nice to just read this right now and just remember that for myself, and so we can all remember it together. Yeah, it's this is just very personal for me, and wow. Yeah, I can't yeah, wow. Okay. Moving on. Ego trick. Okay, so ego trick number four is thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Seema. I'm happy to be honest. I love being honest. Ah. That's awesome, Denise. Yes, I saw you holding hands with Christian in the service. It was so beautiful to see that. I think it was during the meditation. Beautiful. All right, ego trick number four, your happiness is not out there. That's ego trick number four, is your happiness is not out there. After I read this, I'm going to open up the room to questions. It's 6:41 and my phone is battery's going out, so let me go ahead and get my charger and connect it to my computer real quick. But in the meantime, if you guys want to start bringing in your questions now and I can answer them after I read, we can do that. So let me go ahead and plug this in. So I'm going to go ahead and read this paragraph, this last paragraph, and then we will be complete. And then tonight, I'm taking off to Mexico. I'll be taking off to Mexico in midnight to do a retreat up there. So I'm excited to join with them over there. Okay, trust. So let's see here. So let me go ahead and read this last part. Ego trick number four. I got a message here. All right, so let's go. Let me go back into the room here so I can see the room. I can't see the room. Where am I? Okay, here I am. All right. Ego trick number four, your happiness is out there. How many people can relate to this? How many of us can relate to thinking that something outside, even getting a parking space, can make us happy, right? How crazy is that? All right. When ego's running the show, you need to make things happen, and so you try to manipulate the world even if it kills you. The ego's always whispering in your ear, and it's pretty loud, what in showbiz we call stage whisper, telling you that you will not be happy or free until you get enough money or the right person or the perfect job. If that were true, then we would not hear so many stories of people who have made it on a material level, but who are also alcoholics, drug addicts, or suicidally depressed. The truth is that nothing out there will ever give you freedom or happiness. That's because you already have it. It's your divine right to be happy as a perfect child of God. It's vital to understand the ego tricks, which describe how the ego projects fear. Then we can recognize the ego whenever it becomes active in our minds. We must also build a relationship with our internal teacher, the Holy Spirit, so that we give to it all of our false negative thoughts, which are of no use. This is your job if you want to live your happy. Each day you have the opportunity to remember that you're not your ego thoughts. You are the decision maker who can choose a different way of thinking. As A Course in Miracles puts it, each day, each hour and minute, even each second, you are deciding between the crucifixion and the resurrection, between the ego and the Holy Spirit. The ego is a choice for guilt. This is what the Course says. The ego is a choice for guilt, and the Holy Spirit is a choice for guiltlessness. So that is the last part I'm going to be reading for tonight. So let's go over that real quick. And you will be seeing this in the book in chapter two. So the ego trick number one is the shoulda, the shoulds. Ego trick number two is obsession with the past. Ego trick three is focus on the body. And ego four is your happiness is out there. Wow. All right, so at this time, I want to open this up to questions. I don't know if maybe somebody wants to, I'm not sure if they could, the messages come up on here. I'm trying to still figure out how to use this. Let's see here. All right, so I see Denise there. I see Seema, see me, I see Carly. And then, so it says here, type your questions on the board. So anybody that's in the sanctuary can type their questions on the board, and then I can answer those. And then if we don't have any questions, that's okay too. You know, that's okay too. In the meantime, while I'm waiting for, how do you handle being around unloving people? Beautiful. Okay, Denise. So, how do you handle being around unloving people? So, the first thing in truth, there isn't any unloving people. I think when we recognize that there isn't any unloving people, truly in truth, that is already going to heal your mind because there isn't. In form, in the body, in separation, the course would say, you know, in the world society, yeah, you know, it does appear that there is unloving people because of their actions, because of the way they act or react or whatever. But that's not the truth about them. So that's why they are really not truly unloving because they're not coming from their true self with a capital S, like the course talks about. So when you are in presence of someone that appears to be, that looks like, that has the appearance, like you're saying here, presenting themselves that way, I see that, presenting themselves that way, and you are seeing that, you're experiencing that, what you do is you check in. You check in of why you're experiencing them as unloving. You check in and feel like what are the feelings you're having towards this person, maybe judgments or whatever, and just kind of be with that. It happens in a moment. Just instead of being reactive to it or anything, just kind of being an observer of it and inviting the Holy Spirit in your mind so that you can have a different perception of the person and situation. And that could happen in an instant. You could just be looking at the person and feeling their energy and just be spirit. Let me change my perception. Because in truth, that person is a mirror for you. It's a mirror. That person, that unloving person, is such a gift. Because they are reflecting to you something within you that needs to be healed. Because if not, you wouldn't be seeing that unlovingness. You wouldn't see it if you didn't recognize it some way in yourself. You know, you're not going to see it if you're not in some way not seeing it in you. So it's never outside you, ever, 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 ever. It's always within you and changing your thoughts about the perception or changing your perception versus trying to change the person or trying to think that they are being unloving. The question is, how are you? I get that, Denise. I feel you. You say here, there is so much pain for me around this. Yeah, and thank you for saying that. And I get that, and I feel how painful that could be. And I think all of us on the call can feel how painful that can be to experience unlovingness outside of ourselves or to experience any type of anything that doesn't come from God, you know. But there's an ego involved in this world, so we are going to experience this darkness and this hurt. But you know what? We can just hold the truth. Hold the truth. Hold the truth to its capacity. That's our job. So in the moment when that person's being unloving, you just give it over to spirit and ask spirit so you can change your perception of it. And when you start to see, and hold the other person in high regard and love them regardless of they being unloving, you are not only loving them, but you are loving yourself. Because in truth, they are you. The Course would say they are you. And I know that this is something really hard to swallow, but that is it. We never forgive another person because they really did something. We really forgive them in our mind because we've unconsciously made it all up, you know? Yeah, I know, ouch. I know, because of the pain, ouch, yep. That's what I love about the Course. I mean, it's very, very radical, but it's so, so helpful, Denise, when we start to be more open to these ideas, because then we can be a victim of the world that we see and we can experience more happiness. Because you see, when you continue to experience this unloving, you know, experiencing, seeing unlovingness outside you, the way that you are able to get unhooked by that is to, by one way or another, being responsible for that, being responsible for that projection versus thinking that something's happening to you. Because then guess what? You're little and you're small and you're a victim of that. And you know what? You're not. The truth is you're not. And that person that seems to be unloving also has their stuff, also has their ego, and you don't have no idea what that person has, whatever, gone through in the past or however they're acting up. It's like, we love them. We must love them, even if we don't want to. Even if we don't want to, we want to love them. Why? Because you also want to be in love with yourself. And that's how you're able to really find self-love and salvation in another. Because you're able, if you, when you recognize your truth, you are actually saved, you know, because you are also recognizing your truth. And yes, this is very easy to forget. I see that this is very easy to forget. And then that's why, since this is very easy to forget these concepts, that is why in the book I really touch heavily on practice. We need to practice this every second, the second within the second. We need to practice this that we're learning here. And in the book, I really share a lot, very adamantly throughout it. You need to practice. Your mind is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Your mind is nuts. So you need to have structure within your mind. The structure is God. You know, the structure is God. So we need to continue to come back to those thoughts so that we can really see truth and perfection outside. So Denise says, right, I want to love my thoughts, so for that they must be loving. Right, I want to love my thoughts, so for that they must be loving. So, if your thoughts start to change about that unlovingness that you're seeing, like I was talking about at Unity today, your experience of the world and people around you will change. And there's forgiveness there that needs to take place. And forgiveness is a topic I'll probably start to go over in the next few weeks, true forgiveness based on the Course, which is helpful for this, for being able to see truth outside of you more and more. So there's this process that I do, which is very helpful, which you can think of if somebody's being unloving with you, Denise. You can close your eyes and think of the person and just share in your mind, we are one mind. So in truth, we are one mind and whole and perfect and complete in the one mind of God. So in the silence, and you close your eyes and you say such and such, let's say Christian, we are one mind, whole, perfect, and complete in the one mind of God. So then you say, you and I are healed together as one in love. So, Christian, we are one mind, whole, perfect, and complete in the mind of God. We are healed together in the one mind of love. Then it could be anybody else. It could be your father, your mother, whoever it is. Just use that as a tool that you just remember you are one in the mind of God, whole, perfect, and complete in the mind of God. And we are healed together in one in love. And then you're going to start to have this epiphany and this revelation, this mystical experience that You're not really even forgiving the other person. You're not even, it's not even about the other person, because you're really saying this to yourself, because there's only really one hanging out here. There's only one really hanging out here. That's it. Only one. So let's just take a breath here. Good. Yeah, forgiving yourself for your misperception. Perfect. And I think that right now you're already most probably seeing it so much more differently. All right. So to wrap it up here, I wanted to share that the series is going to go on for the next couple of Sundays, actually through March 26. It would be every Sunday at 6 o'clock Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern. Next week, I will be bringing another topic in regards to the book, whatever I'm feeling called to at the time. Also, the book is already on pre-sale on Amazon. It's actually has like about 30% off right now if you purchase it before the publishing date, which is April 22nd. So you can get it either at Amazon or on Barnes & Noble's, and you can check that out on the page of Awakening Together. You can check it out there and click on the links as well. I'm doing this series based on the book just because it's going to be so much fun just to go into deeper with the stories that are in the book. I think next week I'll probably share with you the Buddha story, which is this guy dated on Match.com, that he was a Buddhist, and I had a really healing opportunity with him in regards to relationships and healing my relationships with men. So maybe next week we can talk about relationship. Yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about relationship next week. Not just romantic relationships, but just relationships based on the Course in Miracles and how relationships are our tools to waking up. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up here in prayer. Right now here, it says if, exactly. So if you're inspired by the current miniseries, you can make a donation to support the miniseries. Thank you for reminding me that. This series is free, so I'm very excited. It is free, but your loving donations are accepted. So there's the link there, and also the link on the website if you want to make a donation for the series of March that we're doing here. All right. I love you all and I appreciate you. Let's go ahead and close our eyes here and let's go into our hearts and pray. And we just take a deep breath here. Let's just say thank you, God, for this opportunity to join in this evening, in this room, in this awakening room, awakening sanctuary. This is where we are. We're in this beautiful room with so much love, so much power, so much strength, so much peace is in this room. We're so grateful. We're grateful for everything that was shared. We're grateful for all the love that was shared, for all the peace that was shared in regards to, I feel your love. I mean, even though I talked this whole hour, I feel the sharing of everyone on the call today, of all the love and your openness and your willingness to get out of your own way and find and experience the love that you are. So as we go into this week and as we really go into this Lent, you know, this is Lent season. It's 46 days till, you know, these 46 days as we go into Easter, we can use this time to awaken more to our true selves. So we invite Holy Spirit into our experience to guide us fully on our experience, to guide our perceptions, to guide our thoughts, mainly to guide our thoughts, so we can continue to choose more with love and less with fear, that we can choose more with light instead of darkness, that we can choose more peace instead of the opposite. We want that. We want to experience our capacity in love as love. We're so grateful. Thank you, everyone. I love you and I appreciate you. And till next Sunday, I love you all. Bye-bye.